As I approached the group, I noticed Rayner's wife, to whom I had been introduced earlier. She was a beautiful, dark-haired woman of 30 or so. She was staring at me, or rather at the top of my head, as if she expected something to sprout. I stared back, and she got uncomfortable and turned back to Dr. Strauss.
"But what about the present project? Do you anticipate being able to use these techniques on other retardates? Is this something the world will be able to use?"
Strauss shrugged and nodded towards me. "Still too early to tell. Your husband helped us put Charlie to work on the project, and a great deal depends on what he comes up with." "Of course," Mr. Rayner put in, "we all understand the necessity for pure research in fields like yours, but it would be such a boon to our image if we could produce a really workable method for achieving permanent results outside the laboratory, if we could show the world that there is some tangible good coming out of it." I started to speak, but Strauss, who must have sensed what I was going to say, stood up and put his arm on my shoulder. "All of us at Beekman feel that the work Charlie is doing is of the utmost importance. His job now is to find the truth wherever it leads. We leave it to your foundations to handle the public, to educate society." He smiled at the Rayners and steered me away from them. "That," I said, "is not at all what I was going to say." "I didn't think you were," he whispered, holding onto my elbow. "But I could see by that gleam in your eye you were ready to cut them to pieces. And I couldn't allow that, could I?"
"Guess not," I agreed, helping myself to another martini.
"Is it wise of you to drink so heavily?"
"No, but I'm trying to relax, and I seem to have come to the wrong place."
"Well, take it easy," he said, "and keep out of trouble tonight. These people aren't fools. They know the way you feel about them, and even if you don't need them, we do." I waved a salute at him. "I'll try, but you'd better keep Mrs. Rayner away from me. I'm going to goose her if she wiggles her fanny at me again."
"Shh," he hissed. "She'll hear you."
"Shh," I echoed.
"Sorry, I'll just sit here in the corner and keep out of everyone's way."